145 years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In America, we have a great heritage. In fact, this is not just a great heritage for this country, but really in the Bible, there's a great heritage of turning to God in prayer in times of need. And really calling for national repentance. And this is true, again, not only in the Bible, but it's also true in the United States of America. So we have the example of Moses in Israel. When they cried out to Pharaoh, they cried out first to God for deliverance from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and God answered that. You know, their struggle did not get easier. It actually got harder for a period of time until God actually delivered them. We also see that when they went into Canaan land, they needed to repent, they needed to pray, they needed to turn back to God, and they needed to make sure they were doing things God's way. Throughout the book of Judges, you'll actually see many times where the people of Israel rebelled against God, and God gave them over to oppressors. He raised up oppressors to rule over them. And then what you see is you actually see the people actually coming to God in prayer. They, and really from the depths of their despair, they realized their error of their way, and they repented of their sins, and they turned back to God, and God would then bring them a deliverer. And you see this time and time again. They obeyed God. God blessed them. Out of that blessing, they forgot God and became apathetic. That apathy led to disobedience. The disobedience led to bondage. And then, again, in the bondage, they remembered their God and turned to Him in prayer. You see, King Saul even turned to God in prayer. You see many examples of King David turning to God in prayer and repentance. In fact, the biggest example, the most prominent example of personal repentance, we see from Psalm 51 after King David had actually committed adultery, and then not only committed adultery, but also had Bathsheba's husband murdered and was trying to cover up his own sin. And we have the greatest example of personal repentance, but you also see many times that King David crying out to God on behalf of the nation and on behalf of his people. Even before the nation was a nation, what you see is you actually see King David crying out to God on behalf of that nation, on behalf of his people, as he was anointed king but was hunted by Saul, who was king. You also see King Solomon actually laying out the groundwork for repentance when the temple was built, and God showed up, King Solomon saying, "Hey, listen, God, we know that there's no people that can perfectly obey you. So when you raise up a disaster, when pestilence strikes, when you cause the heavens to be shut, when you bring about your judgment upon a people, when your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face, and they turn from their wicked ways, then hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And you see many examples of this in the Bible. The kings of Israel, they were, many of them would depart from God's precepts, but God would actually bring them back and would bring them to a place of repentance. You see Isaiah and Hezekiah actually crying out to God on behalf of the people of God in really some powerful passages. You see the prophets calling for the nation to repent and to come back to God, and there were times of repentance. You see Daniel not only prayed for his own sin and repented for his own sin, he also repented on behalf of the sins of the nation, his nation. And that's something that's pertinent for us as well. You see, God not only judges individuals, he also judges nations. And it is important for us to cry out and to repent on behalf of the sins of our nation. You see, Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall, you see calls for repentance and prayer. In America, the Pilgrims came over and turned to God in prayer. The Puritans also. When there was an Indian uprising, they would seek their hearts. They would turn to see, have we committed sin? Have we brought this judgment upon ourselves? And they would repent of their sins on behalf of the community. And the Founding Fathers did this as well. Many times they actually turned to God in prayer. And Benjamin Franklin even talks about how they daily in Congress were crying out to God in prayer, and how God, they saw God's providential hand upon this nation. I'm going to read the titles of some of the proclamations, and also just talk about some of the proclamations, and then we'll actually read one of those proclamations. And there are many, many, many proclamations to read. And it wasn't just saying, hey, God bless America. I mean, this was actually calling for days of prayer and fasting and humiliation before God. In 1775, Samuel Adams, governor of Massachusetts, called for a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. In these days of public prayer, people were actually to not go to work. They were actually, instead of going to work, they were supposed to go to church and to pray and to cry out on behalf of the nation. During the Revolutionary War, General George Washington would go through the army and implore the troops to repent of their sins. And he would call for days of public fasting, prayer, and humiliation before God. During the Constitutional Convention in 1787, Benjamin Franklin said, you know, we gathered here in prayer, and this was, by the way, at a time where really the Constitutional Convention was about to just break apart. And he said, you know, during the Revolutionary War, we gathered here and prayed daily for God's blessings, for God's blessings. And we saw God bless. We saw God's providence help us out so many times. And yet today we're here trying to start this nation and we're not even praying. They actually left the Constitutional Convention and went to a church. And for 3 days, they prayed and sought God. And they heard teaching from the Word of God. And they came back together and actually were able to produce the Constitution of the United States of America. In 1807, Connecticut Governor Jonathan Trumbull issued a proclamation of fasting and humiliation. In 1812, James Madison issued a proclamation calling for humiliation and prayer. In 1860, President James Buchanan issued a proclamation of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I'm going to read to you today the text excerpt from a declaration by the Continental Congress on March 16th, 1776. So this is before the Declaration of Independence, or the unanimous declaration, was actually signed. March 16, 1776, this was a call for humiliation, fasting, and prayer. In times of impending calamity and distress, when the liberties of America are imminently endangered by the secret machinations and open assaults of an insidious and vindictive administration, it becomes the indispensable duty of these hitherto free and happy colonies, with true penitence of heart and the most reverent devotion, publicly to acknowledge and overruling providence of God, to confess and deplore our offenses against Him, and to supplicate His interposition for averting the threatened danger and prospering our strenuous efforts in the cause of freedom, virtue, and posterity, desirous at the same time to have people of all ranks and degrees duly impressed with a solemn sense of God's superintending providence and of their duty devoutly to rely in all their lawful enterprises on His aid and direction, do earnestly recommend that Friday, the 17th day May next, be observed by said colonies as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life appease His righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ obtain His pardon and forgiveness, humbly imploring His assistance to frustrate the cruel purpose of our unnatural enemies, that it may please the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, to animate our officers and soldiers with invincible fortitude, to guard and protect them in the day of battle, and to crown the continental arms by sea and land with victory and success, earnestly beseeching Him to bless our civil rulers and the representatives of the people in their several assemblies and conventions, to preserve and strengthen their union, to inspire them with the ardent, disinterested love of their country, to give wisdom and stability to their counsel, and direct them to the most efficacious measures in establishing the rights of Americans on the most honorable and permanent basis, that He should be graciously pleased to bless all His people in these colonies with health and plenty, and grant that a spirit of incorruptible patriotism and of pure undefiled religion may universally prevail, and this continent be speedily restored to the blessings of peace and liberty, and enabled to transmit them inviolate to the latest posterity. And it is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and abstain from servile labor on the said day. And that was in the Continental Congress. And this is something, again, that Christians, we have this long history. There are people that would say, hey, America is not a Christian nation. And certainly those people who say that are ignorant of history. America was founded by people who were largely Christian. The vast majority of them were Christian. In fact, many of the members of the Continental Congress, many of the founding fathers, were not only Christians, they were actually ministers. And there were those who actually ministers who actually led their congregations to war to fight the men in their congregation to fight against the British. And this is something that you may not have heard of and you may not know, but just think about that. Think about a politician today standing up and not just declaring that people should pray and humble themselves, but also praying that they should actually pray to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would actually bless this nation. And certainly there are people today that don't think that that's something that violates the separation of church and state, and they really are ignorant of history and ignorant of the Constitution and ignorant of how much the founding fathers actually prayed and sought God. When we look at this nation, one of the things that we often say, and you probably have heard this, is that we as a nation are the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I truly believe that America today is the greatest nation on the planet Earth. And there are people that disagree with that. There are people that want to burn our flag. There are people that are unruly, that are speaking out against this nation and talking about how horrible this nation is. One congresswoman actually just recently said that her native nation is better than America. And to that, we may say, hey, let's raise money and send her back there. Because she might change her tune very quickly once she realizes how difficult it is in that nation and how blessed we have it in America. But even though this is the greatest nation, and I believe this is the greatest nation on this planet, that doesn't mean that we are a perfect nation. It doesn't mean that we don't need to repent. We do need to repent, and especially need to repent at this time where there is unrest and where our planes just drop bombs on Iran, knowing that there are very likely terrorists and people that hate this country, living in this country, that were actually let in by our former President Biden, that opened the doors and welcomed everyone, even criminals and gangsters and human traffickers and terrorists. Certainly not everyone that came across the border fits into those categories, but there are some that do fit into those categories. And so we need to come to God in prayer. And what do we need to repent of? We need to repent of the sins of this nation. And when we look at the sins of this nation, really it all stems from the foundation of, and really all true belief stems from a foundation of believing that God is the creator of the earth and everything on the earth. That is the foundation for a stable society. It is a foundation because here's the thing. If you don't believe that there is a God, then you are accountable. You're not accountable to God. In fact, if there's not a God who actually rules in the affairs of men and has standards and laws that we should keep, then you could make up your own mind what is right. And certainly there are people who do make up their own mind. There are people that make up their mind that it is right to kill other innocent people. There are people that make up their mind that it is right to rape. There are people that make up their mind that it is okay to commit adultery, to commit fornication. There are people who engage in sexual promiscuity, and then a preborn child is conceived, and they actually say, go and take care of it, and go to an abortionist and pay an abortionist to kill your preborn child. We need to realize that when we took the idea that God created the heavens and the earth out of schools and replaced it with the idea that you and I just happened by chance, by random mutation, you had nothing, and out of nothing, somehow there was a bang, and all of a sudden matter came about, and then order came about, and somehow there was a one-cell organism, and that one-cell organism developed and through random mutation actually became more and more complex. By the way, you can actually observe evolution in society, and every time you observe evolution, there's a degradation of the quality and the complexity of the cells. There's no example, and scientists have been studying human bodies, they've been studying cells for ages, and they've never seen something develop into something more complex. What you actually have is you actually have genetic responses to threats that are there, and really when that happens, what you have is you have a worse condition than what was there to begin with. But we've taught children that they evolved, that they weren't created by a creator. And really out of this idea of evolution comes this lawlessness that we see in our society. And then in 1962, the Supreme Court ruled in Engle versus Vitale that prayer should be removed from public schools. And in 1963, in Abington versus Shemp, the court removed the Bible from education of children in public schools. The Bible, at the time of the founding fathers, at the time the Constitution was created, at the time the First Amendment was created, the Bible was the primary reading book in schools and remained a major part of schools until it was removed in 1963. We also saw in the 1960s this casting off of all restraint, and we saw the sexual revolution. We also have seen pornography, lust, and continuously pushing more and more indiscretion, and this has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And really, you started seeing states in the 60s starting to legalize abortion. And then in 1973, we saw Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton that allowed abortion really all the way up until the moment of birth. And even though the Supreme Court recently overturned those cases, babies are still dying in most states of this nation. In fact, I would say in all states of the nation, because women actually can go online and order abortifacients, have them shipped even from another country to their own home, and they can actually take an abortifacient drug, and they can give birth to their own dead baby and flush this baby down the toilet or put the baby in the garbage. This is something that is horrific. Babies are still dying, and there are some states that actually have loosened their abortion rights and have even said, we'll pay for women to travel to our state to have an abortion. What they're talking about is killing an innocent human being. We also have seen a major push. Well, in 1980, we saw the Supreme Court removing the Ten Commandments from schools. And then we see in 2003, we actually see in Lawrence versus Texas, we see this right of privacy, which isn't in the Constitution, but was found by the U.S. Supreme Court in the emanations and penumbras of the Bill of Rights. That's the actual wording that they used. They created this right of privacy. They used it to establish the right to abortion, and then used it to establish a right of homosexuality. And then we have also seen this progressing into children going to school in some states as a boy or as a girl and coming back as the opposite sex without the parents even being able to have a say in that. We in this nation have departed from God's precepts, and the church has also departed. We have not had a biblical worldview. It's time that we get back into the Bible, that we read the Bible, that we study it, that we study to show ourselves approved, and that we fight for the restoration of sanity in this nation, that we're not afraid to stand up for what is right, that we actually also humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways so that God can hear from heaven, can forgive our sins, and heal our land. We need to do this today more than any other time. We need to repent of our sins and cry out to God on behalf of this nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord, and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles come, and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and